You're listening to The Training Dummies. With Hoofit. Head. And Hotbox.
All right, thanks for joining us. Here we are again for episode 3 of The Training Dummies, recorded for you on July 12th, 2012. I am Taylor. I play a druid tank named Hoofit, where I raid with my guild, Horderlies. Today I'm joined by my partners in crime, Daryl, who plays an uber resto shaman. I think he edited the show notes while I was just reading this. Named Hend. I think... Canadians are my favorite healers because I know they just love looking at bars. And also with us is our man of many alts, even some of which include those Dirty Alliance scum. We apologize for that. Not really. Thank you, Rob, for joining us. Rob Hotpox, the DPS Death Knight. Today our topic is damage meters and combat logs. Before we get started, though, Rob, how was your week? How was your week in and out of game? What's going on?
Oh, it's been pretty good. We've had some stuff going on at home, so it's been my attention's been divided, but it's been good overall. You know, we had another successful raid this evening, and we had some newcomers in and some people on some alts, and I think when we finally downed I think we one-shotted everything, if I remember. But when we killed Deathwing, I saw what, like 4 or 5 different title achievements go off. So I'd say we had a pretty successful night. I had a good time with that. Hend, how have you been this week?
Pretty good. I've had a very productive week in game, actually. If you look back to our episode 1 where we mentioned Collectinator and that I would go and get that add-on, I did. Had a look at it, realized I still didn't have the 2 goblin trikes. I've been exalted with goblins for a year and a half, probably.
How'd you miss that one?
I have no idea. Not a clue. So I went and picked those up. I was able to get the Wormrest Accord, and there was one more I needed from was Mel Francis, I believe. So that put me at 99 mounts yesterday. We're going housing this weekend, and I actually... towed the trailer out for my wife tonight, so I was unable to make the raid. I got back while you guys were halfway through it, so I went to Utgard Pinnacle to go for the blue proto drake, and it actually dropped tonight. So my mount
nice.
Number 100 was the blue proto drake, so I got that achievement tonight.
Yes, awesome. Congratulations on that. Yeah.
Yes, I was pretty stoked at that for sure. Hoof it. How has your week been?
It's been pretty good. I've been doing some Warcraft stuff out of game, even. I purchased the... What is this called? The War of the Ancients trilogy. And last night, I finished the Well of Eternity. And I'm getting ready to start the Demon Soul.
Right on.
Yeah. And in game, I've been... Well... on topic of tonight's show, I've also been playing around with several different add-ons. We'll get into that later. It did a whole bunch of looking for, well, did a whole bunch of five mans and then some looking for raid, and then tonight's raid, of course, just to kind of make sure I had everything rounded out. And yeah, I've been having a good time this week.
That's super cool that you know, on the topic of discussion, that we actually put in the effort during the week to take a look at stuff and dig it apart and look at all the nuts and bolts of it, so when we do the show that we can actually come to you with some pretty good information.
Yeah, when you see us asking on Twitter for stuff, I mean we're looking not just to rip off your comments and give us an excuse to talk. We want to dig into stuff, and if it's stuff we've never seen before, one of which I got a suggestion and checked out, you know, we want to relay the information and you know, try to, as unbiased as possible, unless it's Horde, give a good feedback on it. Yeah, I have to hoard this up a little bit because I've been reading all these Alliance book, and I'm like, oh my god, there's no Horde in here. Okay, there's one orc. Dang it.
Yeah.
I've been hearing it a lot of the other podcasts that I enjoy. You know, there seems like there's a little friendly banter going back and forth, and it's good stuff. So just gives us a little platform to make sure people know that Horde is better.
Yeah. It really is. It really is. But we love all of you guys that play Alliance, because without you, we wouldn't have anybody to kill. I don't know. Something like that. I'm just kidding.
Excellent.
Well, the yes. hate mail, I don't, well, hey, maybe we'll actually get some mail.
Yeah, that'd be right. Awesome. Okay, we're not... Before we get into today's topic, though, we have some feedback from last week.
Oh, cool.
We got last week we had on the heroics for the Hour of Twilight heroics.
Okay. Yep.
So we got an email from Ledicious Warrior. He says, "Sorry I'm late with this email. On the topic of Hour of Twilight heroics, I just wanted to give this little bloodlust. Tanks. Please let your party know how you're going to be kiting Asira Dawnslayer. You don't want melee standing in the gas cloud. You want range to be ahead because they cannot target through the cloud, and heals won't be able to get heals off if you're running around like a madman. The easiest way for this is to tank her in a line moving backwards. Just please let your group know so they know where to stand. / sated. Alethander's Paladin on Thunderlord." I'm going to let you take this one, Hoofit, since you have something related directly to this.
All right. When the Hour of Twilights first came out, a lot of people couldn't kill this boss super fast, and this particular method would have kind of required you walking in a line straight backwards all the way to the ramp where you first start running down this little area. For anyone that doesn't know, this boss is the boss that jumps on the red dragon and kills the red dragon, and it's the rogue boss in the third Hour of Twilight dungeon. So I used to think I was pretty awesome. Well, I still do, but this
this think you were
used to think, yes.
So I had a great method. I basically, you know, most tanks they pride themselves on being able to control everything about how the fight goes, where they keep the boss, where they do this, where they do that. So I was very good at holding the boss almost in one spot, and the dust clouds would always land in the exact same spots. And I would, always pull the boss out of it and I would always go left and right, because at the time, like I said, it would take 4 or 5 dust clouds before the boss would die when it first came out. And, you know, habits just pursue, or they just continue. And point being is I never really thought about how fast the boss was dying before. And one of our guildmates even suggested this, Avi. She said, "Hey, can you just walk straight backwards?" And I thought, well, this might take a while, but then I saw how fast the boss died, and I'm like, yeah, this is easier. But what I used to do was I would wait in one spot, and when the cloud would drop, I would use a stampeding roar so everybody could move off to the side and not take any damage. And I used to always mark the healer so that I could always put myself right in line of sight, so the healer and the other casters wouldn't get silenced with the little dagger thing that the boss throws. And then the second cloud dropped, I would run back over and immediately reposition. So, you know, my whole goal is anybody that's ranged doesn't have to move so that they don't drop their DPS. That was kind of my whole mentality of thinking about it. But yeah, this is actually a really good tip, especially since most people are doing quite a bit of damage. So when that rogue drops, just tank it right in place and have everybody stand in a straight line. When a tank gets close to you, just kind of back up and give him some more room. The next time he backs up, the cloud's going to drop right on you. So just keep backing up in a straight line until the boss reaches you. Then you can stop. Or wait, I got that backwards. You know what I mean. Just look at my face and read my lips.
The only thing I think I would add to that is if you're tanking, make sure to pull the boss out just far enough out of the cloud so the melee guys can get behind her. Because I think the tanks sometimes don't, I don't know if it's a camera angle thing or what, but they don't see, like, yeah, you pulled her out of the cloud, but there's still no room to get behind her for the, you know, for melee guys to get back there and really, really do some good damage.
Did I do this to you?
You know, I'm not going to say you're guilty, but you know I pug a lot. So I've seen 100 variations of how to do this, and 99 of them suck. So.
All right. Well, that was a thank you, Ledicious Warrior,
for
writing in on that. And, yeah, we're glad to follow up with that. That's a good point to make.
All right. This week on Twitter, we asked, to break up some of the meters discussion, is there anything you guys want to know about Hoofit, Hand, and Hotpox? We had three questions, so I'll read them out here and we'll answer them. Our friend Jules de Torin from the Torin Think Tank wants to know if we've met each other in real life. I'll send that to you, to Hotpox.
Well, you know, we haven't got to meet up with Hand. He lives up way up in Northrend up there in Canada. But Hoofit and I actually have on several occasions. We live just a couple of miles from each other, and Hoofit was kind enough to help me move about a year ago when I was moving back into a place that my wife and I own. And you know, we've gotten together outside of the game a couple of times. So yes, we have. But you know, Hind hasn't had the pleasure.
Vegas yeah. In November.
Oh, yep. You know what? I threw this out on Twitter, it was a week or so ago, about doing like a rad people at a rad meetup kind of thing, and threw out the idea of Vegas, and I had an overwhelming response of people that thought that would be a super cool idea. So if anyone's interested, I haven't, you know, I haven't really talked and settled on a date or anything, but I think when it cools down a little bit, maybe October, November-ish, sort of, you know, anybody who wants to go out there, it's actually very cheap. You don't have to spend a lot of money. You can get a room anywhere, and it's, you know, 40, 50 bucks a night. And just go out there and just have a blast and get to know some people. So I think we may be pushing that forward. So if you guys are interested, hit us up on Twitter and let us know so we can start nailing something down.
Yeah, that sounds great. Keandra asks, boxers or briefs? Hoof it.
Boxers.
Rob?
Boxer briefs? No boxer. What about you?
Me? I do actually.
He's in Canada. He probably wears the whitey tighties, man.
He's got to
keep him warm.
You know, I thought on this, I was going to say commando. But it's not true. A box of briefs is what I do here.
Keeping it real.
Yes.
Keeping it.
All right, we have one last question here. A latecomer. We actually just got this a couple hours before we recorded from Rune. Hey, Hotpox, Hand, and Hoofit. Awesome show, guys. What is your favorite WoW zone? I'll start with this one. I don't have a particular zone that is my favorite. But I do have a least favorite. Vastgir. I hope they never do a water zone like that again. I did it once on Hend, and not again on any of my other 85s. It's absolutely worst zone. So, you guys, which are your favorites?
Well, I don't have a favorite, and I guess it would be for which expansion, you know? I asked on just randomly earlier. I threw out on Twitter, am I the only one who still likes Outland? And that busted out into a huge discussion where a couple of people are talking about how much they love Vastgir, and I don't even know where that came from. But I do like most of Outland. I may be the only one here, but I really like Hellfire, and I think it's because it's easy, it's very quick, it's very fast paced. There's not a lot of like flying all over the place. You know, you get to go back and forth. Maybe for Northrend, I would probably pick Dragonblight. It's another zone I really like that I feel like it's very fast paced, you can get through. And Cataclysm, I'm probably going to go with Oldham. I really, really, really dig the Egyptian thing. I know a lot of people don't like the desert, but I think it's a cool looking zone. It's very dynamic. There's a lot of you know, oasis stuff, and then, you know, the temples and the pyramids and all that. I really like that. Oof, what about you?
This is going to be difficult because I leveled so many characters through vanilla, and I have yet to level completely a Lobby. All the way from, you know, I've done a couple of 1 through 20s here and there, but I haven't done a complete, you know, 1 through 60 in the revised Cataclysm
zones.
Oh,
man, you got to do that. Save it for the month. Just save it for the month.
I haven't done that either.
Just save it for the month.
Yeah, if I do, it will definitely be for the monk. But the thing that I guess my favorite zone back when I was leveling those characters was probably Stranglethorn Vale for the vanilla zones. The only thing that we're on a PvP server, so I would dread having, you know, the the high level alliance camping you all the time, but other than that, I really liked that zone. It had so many quests in Stranglethorn, and it was just like, this is the experience point motherlode of all the zones, and it was great. You could get so many levels there, and it's kind of pretty, and there's kind of a nice a whole variety of scenes. Going into Outland, it was so amazing the first time I stepped through that dark portal. It's still so awesome. I'm pretty sure anybody I bring through there, I guess it's not so hard now, but you know, they didn't used to have the portal there, and every time I would escort somebody to there, I would say, all right, now just notice how big we are, just notice this portal, and they'd be like, yeah, this portal's pretty big. I'm like, mm-hmm, all right, let's walk through. And you know, and you walk through and they're like, oh my goodness, look at all these demons fighting. I'm like, yeah, now turn around, and then the portal is 20 times larger than the one you just stepped through. It and you know, that still looks really cool to me for whatever reason. It looks very cool. Plus, after reading a couple of these books, that zone is really interesting to me, Hellfire. So I kind of look at it a little different when I've played through it. Most people, they just prefer to skip it, but I find the quest still pretty easy to do. I know it's kind of barren and deserty, cracky and stuff, but I actually do like it. And again, the books have helped me really appreciate what that zone could have looked like before we see it as we do now. It isn't overall, it's not my favorite zone in Outland. I want to say Nagrand is my favorite zone in Outland. I just love the floating islands and the trees and stuff were really cool. I really liked it. I love Nagrand. I hated the what's the zone with all the spikes in it and the cannons and
whatever. Yeah.
Oh, Blade's Edge.
Blade's Edge. That's it.
Blade's Edge. Yeah. Thank you.
I'm not a fan of that one.
Oh God, I hated that zone. That zone used to just piss me off.
Man,
I know people like it, but
yeah, anything that sends you flying way over here and then way over there and then way back over, I can't get into that.
Yeah, but we used to not be able to fly in that zone while leveling up.
Oh, gosh.
You got it easy. Yeah. You got it easy now.
Yeah. Dang kids. Get off my phone.
Exactly.
Yeah, so that definitely annoyed me, going down that stupid long path to go to the end of the canyon, to go down the ogre cave, and then fight your way back up. Okay, whatever. So then, in Wrath... I don't know. This is a difficult one. I would say I'm gonna cheat here and say that it was probably Dragonblight. As snowy and wintry as it was, I was so surprised whenever I got that first movie scene with the whole Wrathgate event.
That was
really cool.
Very cool.
So and it had a lot of different things that were all pretty good, and it wasn't the most colorful of zones, but the thing I don't like, I almost want to say Storm Peaks, except there's a few parts in there where you have to fly to Thorim way up on that thing.
Oh,
and yes,
yeah,
the quest there to jump on the backs of the other drakes was really cool, but you had to fly back and forth several times, and that was a long, long flight. Plus, Ice Crown, in addition to Storm Peaks, both of those zones were very heavily phased, and I remember several times trying to help somebody or somebody trying to help me, for instance, and you could see their dot on the minimap and you couldn't do anything because the entire zone was changed. So those really pissed me off and frustrated me when I would during those times. I guess I liked Sholzar Basin pretty good too. It kind of reminded me a little bit of Stranglethorn Vale as far as the colors and varieties there. And then in Cataclysm, I would say that Deep Holm is my favorite zone. Huh. I would say this. I know. Hold on. I know what you're gonna. I know. You already know what I'm gonna say, but I really liked Deep Holm the first time I was there.
There it is.
And if I go through this impression about, you know, all the zones versus all the other zones, I would say, and I only did them once ever, I would still say Deep Holm is my favorite zone. However, my goodness, the forced Therizane quest or rep grinding, that has just made me loathe that zone so much. It is so frustrating that I have to do every single quest there just to unlock the
rep. Yeah, you can't
rep
get the tabard until you're like way up in, you know, God, ugh. I have shoulder enchants on all 12 of my 85s. I have shoulder, at least the revered ones or whatever. Yeah. Yep, I did it.
Very frustrating. Those damn shoulder enchants should have been bind on account. Why all the other head enchants were not the shoulder enchants, I don't know.
Oh.
So with that in mind, I kind of agree. I like Oldham the best. I really do. Twilight was a close call for me between Twilight Highlands and Oldham. I definitely like the story better in Twilight Highlands. I haven't done it on Alliance side. I've heard Alliance is actually kind of boring, but the Horde story is really pretty cool in Twilight Highlands. But I love seeing those giant pyramids and sphinxes and other Egyptian themed things. Not a big fan of the
cutscenes
of the Harrison Jones, and the cutscenes, those are pointless cutscenes in my opinion.
Yeah.
It is not a Wrathgate style event for me.
Yeah, they abused the cutscenes.
The look of the zone, I like it.
That zone did have my favorite quest ever though. The gnome obliteration, I think it's called.
Matt,
I wish that I wish that was a daily, because I would still be doing it every single day. Still.
Hearing them all screaming and crying.
You know, I think
right before you do that quest, you have to do the dynamite, the bomb disarming or whatever it is, and you summon that hologram, and the hologram has a chance that one of the holograms is a dinosaur that has a shark riding it, that has a guy riding it with a guitar, and it's got laser beams.
Yes.
And
yes, dude.
Yeah, that is.
But I think
I you know, the first time I did that, I missed it. I missed it completely until I did it a second time, and I'm like, what is that guitar sound? I remember hearing this before. And then I looked, and sure enough, there's a guitar player riding a shark, riding a dinosaur.
They're all rocking out.
Yeah, it's pretty good.
Well, moving on to some other Twitter interaction that we had. We asked for some feedback about damage meters and recount, and how you guys think that impacts the game. Does it make it better? Does it make it worse? You know, what does it do for you? So Skeleton Curse from Twitter says, damage meters completely ruin games. They cause more frustration than they solve. Druid Leaf says, I use them to shame our keyboard turning Huntard, which is a
awesome.
that was the
probably
best
one of my
week.
Favorite comments.
Yes, definitely.
Upsana over at the Darkmoon Herald says, I have a love-hate relationship with recount. It's like an abusive boyfriend that tells me I'm beautiful. That's you're pretty spot on.
Yes. We also got a comment from Michael here about another add-on. He uses Tiny DPS because it does just what I want it to without all the fluff. This add-on, I think some of our guildies just might use.
And why is
Tiny
that?
DPS.
Are you saying that they have a tiny DPS?
Yes, their DPS is tiny, yes. We also have a Sherry Lee, I think. We use it mostly to gauge if we were doing enough DPS as a raid to beat enraged timers. Ladicious Warrior says, a true man would never flaunt his epine. And Keander says, I just use them to torture myself about my late suckage. That sounds great. Like me healing on my druid.
Your late suckage?
Oh. Yes, my late suckage.
That would be leaf suckage on a resto druid.
Yes.
We've got a couple more Medicakes. He's usually anti-reporting tools. She only uses Recount if needed to personally improve DPS. Got a whole rant on Recount and Scada. Also, Medicake says, please inform that this is not an EP measuring stick, especially in looking for raid.
Yeah.
Beyond this, we've got AV, who's got a new Twitter at Lumulu. She says, only use it to check my own performance. Spamming them is banned from her bean raids. They don't wave their epeens about.
Yeah.
Or wait, I don't know if messy. Hand got that one. They don't wave their epeens about.
About.
Yes, I got it. Thanks.
I just had to clarify.
Exactly.
I got it.
Oh, this whole time he thought her name was V because it says AV.
AV.
Never mind. All right.
No, yeah, the that's thing
funny.
That's
I'll give you that. That's funny.
One of the things that really stuck out there to me though was how people use it to beat each other up, and especially in looking for raid or dungeon groups, it's so hard to gauge other people's performance and their situations and their gear and their skill level and their, you know, do they have spouse aggro or kid aggro, or, you know, do they not care? Are they so casual that they're eating while they're playing? You know, it's you can't really beat each other up about it. And I know in our guild runs we're pretty competitive and we have a good idea of what each other's capable of. So I know that's different when you're beating each other up that way. What do you think?
In a group, especially in looking for raid, if you're running any kind of reporting tools, if you haven't noticed yet, there's probably, in your 25 man looking for raid Dragon Soul, there's probably like 50 people in it. Because
yeah.
Some people just decide, yeah. You know, they kill a boss, they only wanted something from one boss, they bail, somebody else replaces them. So if you're trying to gauge yourself compared to other people in a looking for raid situation, it's really not going to be helpful to you at all. And anybody even bragging about anything and looking for raid probably doesn't realize this. They probably think they're the stuff, man. Especially if they're like, look, man, look at all these DPS, and I'm pretty up there at the top. So, yeah, if half the... If let's say they really were number one, but then the number two DPS decided they wanted to bail out, and the first person never cleared their meters, they're... You know, everybody else, of course, is going to be lower,
yeah.
And even if somebody else is killing it, it's going to look weird. So, yeah, looking for raid, it's not really that helpful.
Well, no. And then, too, like with healing, I'll go in on my shaman, and I'm, like, dropping healing rains all over the place, and I'm like, oh, yeah, I'm in first place. Oh, yeah, I'm doing, you know, 20k heals. Oh, yeah, and then you look, and there's, like, 40% over heals, you know, and I'm like, oh wait.
Right. Even in five mans, I mean, we get these people that will after every trash pull, or maybe it's every time their cooldown is ready, they will use it, and then they'll link damage meters to the entire group. They think they have to do this for some reason,
right?
Because they just did awesome on one pull. Shoot, we had a last night? We did
night.
A five man. We had a death knight in the group. That was pretty funny, man. This guy, we're in a five man, four friends and one pug. And we get in there, and the first thing this guy does is, my DPS is usually higher. And I'm like, okay. Yeah, everything's going pretty smooth, and I really didn't care, but yeah, hey, you know, I. What do you need? Do you need to do something to make it better? And then later he says, yeah, usually I'm Frost or Unholy or whatever. I don't know if you remember what he said, but he said something, and I'm saying, well, I can wait if you want to switch your spec or do what you got to do. Oh, I'm already in that spec. Oh, well, okay then. So then a little while later, he starts asking, hey, somebody link damage meters. I'm like, you know, since he was talking and stuff, and because it annoys the piss out of me when people just ask, can you link damage meters? Can you link damage meters? Jeez, get, just download it. Get your own.
Yeah.
If you're really interested, I kind of tell them, hey, if you want to see damage and DPS, maybe you should download it. And so a few seconds later, he links damage meters.
Yeah, that was the best part.
What the heck?
Yeah. And he was posting, like some other, I don't know, he kept clearing them after pulls, so his numbers would look bigger. He would clear it, and then we'd go into an AOE pull, and so he'd have, like, you know, he would, oh, dude, you're doing 25k, oh, goodness, you know.
Right. Yeah, and he was only linking damage per second. He wasn't even linking total damage.
Yeah, so he's, like, last in total damage, but he's, like, second in DPS for one pull.
Yeah.
Yeah. So waits right till the end and then blasts him with something hard hitting and ooh, look at that DPS.
Yeah, that was classic. He's lovely. That guy. That guy that we all love. Yeah.
Damage meter douchebag. Don't be a damage meter douchebag.
It's the DMD.
DMDB.
Yeah, those guys, yeah. These are the people that make people hate damage meters. But yes. Personally, I think there is a lot that you can learn from these things. And it's not just damage, and it's not even just healing. And after, you know, I've been using reporting tools, the in-game ones, for years and years and years. I wouldn't say since I first started playing, but definitely since vanilla, before I even had a tank. Before I even thought about tanking, and it was, you know, I wanted to see, you know, where am I competing? Am I doing okay? Am I way behind? And, you know, how's it going with these other things? And that was back before you had a lot of these kind of exploitable ways to do things. And it was a lot more helpful then. And of course the game changes and people figure out how to be jerks about it, but I still use it to this day. And we're about to dive into some heavy discussion here about why I like it and why I encourage it, but for the right reasons.
Right.
Obviously, the first thing that comes to mind when you're talking about Recount or Skata, these are the two we're going to be talking about mainly, is, well, you want to know how much DPS you're doing. You hear people say, you know, especially if you're going to be in a pug, you know, how much DPS can you do?
Well, what does DPS mean?
So the DPS is damage per second. So it's basically just dividing how much total damage you're doing divided by the amount of time that you do it and by the second, and that's how much damage per second you do. And it calculates in any times that you have dead times. So if you have to stop because you're running around, that ends up lowering your DPS a little bit. Or if you're standing still and you're using cooldowns and getting big hits, that increases it. And so at the end of that time, it averages it out and says, you know, this is your average DPS. Going back to that DK in that five man, this guy was only looking at his DPS. And this is one of the first big no-nos about people using these damage meters, is only looking at your damage per second or heals per second. This isn't always an indicator that you're really contributing. Most damage meters will have an option to either display both at the same time, or you can also sort it out to look at total damage. And what the total damage is basically a cumulative of all the damage you've done through an entire raid or over an entire boss, or even in a five man, you know, it adds the trash pulls with the boss and all that. So you can see what your contribution to a group is. Now you factor this, you know, if you have really low DPS, chances are your total damage is also going to be really low. But there's times where you can do, you know, mediocre or somewhere in the middle, you know, you're not doing the super crazy DPS, but you're still contributing fairly closely to what other damage dealers are doing. And this is why it's important to look at DPS and your total damage side by side. And it's good for you as the player to know, okay, you know, for example, you can rig your DPS if you don't get in combat and let's say something's almost dead and right before it dies, you hit your highest damage dealing move and you crit. And that's all the damage you do. So when you're looking at the meters, your DPS is massive.
Yeah.
But you only hit one time, and you only hit for, you know, that amount of damage. So your total damage compared to everyone else that was beating on all the mobs for the last 20 seconds or whatever it was, you know, they've got so much damage and you've got nothing, even though your DPS is really high.
And one thing,
it's kind of what that DK was doing on that five man.
I think one thing that you said there that's a key thing that people don't understand a lot of times, and especially in pugs, is what you're contributing to the group. And I think we'll break this down here more in a minute, but not only the damage that you're doing, but how much of a pain are you being for the healers, and are you interrupting, and are you standing here, or, you know, are you being effective in terms of taking out the right adds and being in the right places?
Moving on to that, since we're talking about, you know, what else can this do? What else can these reporting tools do for you? In the same thing with DPS and total damage, you've got heals per second, which is basically the same math as, you know, how much healing you did over a certain amount of time, mm-hmm. and divide it, and that's your heals per second. Things to look at in heals, and Hen will be able to elaborate a lot more on this, but you've got over heals, and you've also got your effective heals. So, Hen, you want to explain a little bit in more detail what that means?
Sure. Your effective heals are what you're actually healing. So if the tank has lost 10,000 health, and you cast a 15,000 heal, 10,000 of that is effective, 5,000 is overheals, and it tracks this. So if you have obscene overheals, it could be that you're not using the right spell for the right situation. You're using a higher healing spell than you need to, and that could affect your mana. As well, different classes have different overheals. I think a druid, I believe, is one, and paladins might generally have higher overheals. The beacon of light, if the tank doesn't need a heal, but has the beacon of light on them, and the paladin heals someone else, all that is overheals on the tank. Same with the druid, with life bloom always rolling, which is something I can't manage to get it to do. But in a perfect world, if you're a good druid healer, you've always got life bloom on there, so if the tank doesn't need a heal, it's still ticking away healing that, and that's all over heals. So you can't even judge yourself against other classes really for over heals. If you're trying to look at yourself and your effective heals and your over heals, you want to compare yourself against others of your same class, even, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
And this is a good indicator, what you said earlier. If you're trying to learn how to heal, or if you're, whatever you're doing, you're healing, and you find yourself, hey, I'm running out of mana, but, you know, I'm tossing out big, big heals, but, you know, I'm running out of mana, what's going on? And then, you know, I run out of mana, then the tank dies, and then we wipe. As a healer, you can look at these meters and say, okay, do I have a lot of overheals? If I do have a lot of overheals, am I using the right spells? Maybe if I've got so much in overheals, this might take some practice for you to to learn what's an acceptable amount of overheals for your class specifically. But if you've got a certain amount of overheals and you're running out of mana, you can look at that and maybe see, you know, maybe I need to use a different spell, and that's going to cost less mana because I obviously don't need to heal that much. Because the tank's obviously getting more heals than he needs because it's all over heals. So then you can sort of go on.
Will Recount or Scott, will that, no, I know there's an overheals page or tab on there. Will that show you which one of your skills are overhealing the most? So you can go, oh man, you know, this AoE heal that I'm doing is just too much. I don't need that. Is it going to show you, like, breakdowns of...
I think it does, but I'm not sure now. But I believe so.
Because I know on each, I don't, you know, think it does. On each tab that you go through, you know, it shows you, you know, DPS, total damage, interrupts, deaths, kills, you know, like, or, you know. And on the overheals one, I wasn't sure if you moused over it, is it going to give you an even more comprehensive breakdown on what you're using that is doing the overheals?
Right, I'm thinking of when you go to a heals information tab, and then it gives you a breakdown of all the spells that you use. I don't know, because I don't have a healer in Cataclysm, it's been a while since I've looked at this page, so that's all on hand.
I'll look at that too.
Don't let our listeners down.
It's been a while since I've looked at it as well, because we're pretty much face rolling Dragon Soul every week. So I put up my healing meters just to have a look. I don't tab through anything anymore. I know if you use a combat log parsing site such as World of Logs, which we'll discuss later, that does tell you your overheals and what spells you're overhealing with.
Good, okay, good. So there is a resource for that.
Yeah, for sure. I'm pretty sure Recount does. I would assume Scatta does as well. But I'm sorry, I can't be more specific.
No, it's good. I mean, I just kind of thought, you know, for me personally too, when I go into Dragon Soul, you know, depending on which healer I'm taking, it's like, you know, I want to be first or second in heals, and I don't really count what cost it is. I just spam, cheese, and, you know, and I know in LFR you can get away with that, but in terms of wanting to become a better player, there's ways to evaluate that and break that down.
Well, these are the two main things that most people want some kind of in-game reporting tool for, is the damage or the healing. And I think that's perfectly fine as long as it's used in the right context. If you're using it to better yourself or just gauge yourself or even gauge someone else, if you know that you are exceptional and you're trying to recruit somebody, you know, I know it's silly and kind of maybe a little bit egotistical to compare them to yourself, but you know that when you're, especially if you're in a raiding situation, you need to know if somebody can pull their weight. So you bring them along in a five-man or in a looking for group raid, and you're looking at, you know, you're comparing yourself against one other person specifically, that type of thing. There are places where these tools can come in handy for those two things specifically. What I would also like to talk about, though, is some of the other things that these reporting tools do. And I think these are very important, are often overlooked. People, I think many people don't even realize maybe that these things are even there, and they are extremely helpful. We did get a few tweets about, you know, World of Logs and how that's great. Like Hen said, we're going to get into that because it is really good. The problem with that is usually that you don't get to look over those things until the next day or after the raid's over, and then you get to look. So for discussing these things on the fly, you're in the heat of things and you're trying to figure stuff out. These in-game reporting tools help you decipher what's going on. So the next thing I want to talk about, what's that? Okay, so interrupts. Speaking of interrupting our topic, interrupts are very important. Maybe they're not so important in Dragon Soul, but they have, in the past, they've been infinitely important on boss fights and even some five-mans. These are things almost every class in the game, if not every class in at least one particular spec, has a way to interrupt something. And there are times where interrupting something can be key. So I like having meters to know who's interrupting. And, you know, maybe before we start assembling a raid team for the next expansion that comes out, I've been running with some people, and I know, you know, I'm looking at as a tank, you know, I got to lead a raid, and if I'm going to lead a raid, I need to make sure that I'm assigning people that I know can interrupt. And how do I know that? Because I've been keeping an eye on you guys. That's right. I've been watching.
Well, it's good thing you are.
I look at the interrupt meters.
If you get on the wrong pillar, you need to have someone reliable on your pillar you're supposed to be on take over your job. It's a good thing you're doing this.
I still have no idea. I don't know what you're talking about. You brought this up a couple of
times. It makes perfect sense. It's good. It's good to hear. As you being my raid leader, I'm glad you're doing this.
No, well, yeah, actually, one of the other episodes talked about an add-on that we used that, and we made the whole metagame out of seeing who can out interrupt each other, because we got the little add-on that announces it. So there's ways to do it and also make it fun, too.
Yeah. But still, knowing who's interrupting, knowing that people can interrupt and that they are volunteering, whether or not, sometimes it's just fun because I just like to know. I'd like to know who's interrupting spells, who's stopping me from taking a bunch of damage, who's helping the healers out because I didn't take a big spell hit to the face. You know, those things add up over time, and it, you know, an interrupt by a DPS means I take less damage, means the healer can save a heal for something else, that type of thing.
Yeah, and you're helping your group
another
succeed.
Yeah, it is absolutely helping your group. And another great thing that these damage meters report, they report when you dispel somebody. And there's one boss in particular when Kata first rolled out that had lots and lots of dispels that needed to happen, and that was Argaloth in Bard and Hold.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I was terrible at that.
So,
yeah.
And there's add-ons that you can get that will help you dispel decursive or smart debuff. Those kinds of things will help make that job easier. But it's nice, you know, again, if you're trying to learn a boss fight and you keep wiping and you're like, why are we wiping? I don't know. I was healing everybody and, you know, I'm healing just fine. Well, is there a debuff on somebody that's just killing it and nobody's dispelling it and people are dying to that?
Yeah, even now, the Archbishop fight on the last boss in the Hour of Twilight dungeon, he puts that debuff on and does that shadow damage, and then it does it an AoE damage to anyone who's around that. And if you don't dispel that, you know, at least the person who it's on will probably die. And I see so many times healers aren't even specced for it because somebody dies and we're going, hey, what's going on, man? Oh, sorry, I don't have a dispel.
Well, and that will, if people are dying, that brings me to one of my favorite, as a raid leader, as a tank leading a group, I love this particular part of any reporting meter, and it is the death meter. And it's not just recording how many times people die and and who died. On recount, what it will do, and I'm still not quite sure. Scotta's a little janky for me, but they both do this. But on recount specifically, is very easy to determine what went wrong. It records the last 5 to 15 seconds of an encounter of up until the point that somebody died. So let's go back to the dispels example in Argaloth. So the first thing when people were dying, I look at the death meters. And I'm looking, okay, what killed this person? Okay, it's this ability. It's a dot. It's ticking away. And it killed him. You know, the healer was doing big heals, but the dot caught up to them. That's when then I go from the death meters. Then I go to the dispels. And I say, okay, was this dispelled? Hey, nobody dispelled this. Okay, the next time we go in here, we need people to dispel this. Keep a lookout for it.
But it becomes a lot more effective to dispel something than to try and heal through it, too.
Yes, exactly.
Right. In that particular scenario, definitely. You know, people not liking damage meters, it's very difficult for me to understand why people hate it, other than the only encounters they've had with it are people just being jerks with it. They're not
the
using it as a tool. Yeah, yeah. And trolls are... Torn's the best.
Yep.
Yep.
Trolls are trolls.
But even with the spells, I'll admit to being a dispel meter douchebag. Specifically regarding this Argaloth fight, because it was all in heal, and there was many a fight where with two healers on that, and I had the entire dispels. They were all me,
like
none from the other healer.
20 something, and I had
and
like two.
Every time that happened, I had to link it, just because. And then of course Lex. I'm flexing right now, just to reminisce. You can't see it, but I'm flexing right now.
Yeah, you're kissing your biceps.
I heard a crunching noise. Was that the microphone getting caught on your bicep?
It just might have been. Because my head's expanding.
Oh, man.
Too.
But that snapping noise was your headset breaking.
Yes, yep.
All right. Well, again, so yes, you're a dispelling douchebag, but you're doing it to the people you love, your raid team. You're not doing it to a bunch of strangers being a prick and calling people a jerk, that kind of thing. If you're in that situation, if you're the person that's using these tools, Recount or Scott or whatever, you're using these tools to try to make things better for everyone, hopefully, anyway. You're not using these as a bragging tool or as a means to just say, you're not doing your job, jerk, you know, you're not calling people out for it. I mean, of course, I've been in groups where there was a really bad DPS, or if I was a DPS, it was a really bad tank, or if I was anything else, it was a really bad healer. And as long as the person that was doing pretty bad, you know, I would ask, hey, do you need some help? You know, can I? Do you mind if I offer a tip? And most of the time, those people are pretty cool about it. But every now and then, you get some jerk who just doesn't understand what's going on. So take those guys with a grain of salt, ignore them, because really, in the end, these, I honestly believe any kind of reporting tool that lets you know what's going on is more of a help than it is a hindrance, as long as you don't let it go to your head. But speaking of letting it go to your head, I do believe I was 0.1% away from being the top DPS while tanking in a looking for raid group.
That was ridiculous. I can at least, you know what, I could say I was healing, so I don't need to give any excuses on that run.
And I just wasn't there.
Oh man, that surprised me. I wasn't even looking at anything, because looking for raids a little weird, until one of our guildies that was also in this looking for raid run says, man, you were pulling some wicked DPS on that. And then that's when I looked and I was kind of surprised. Like, whoa.
It was awesome though. It was stinking awesome looking up. You're doing 50k something on, like, what?
Yeah. Also, you know what? I forgot to mention this completely. And don't let this, again, people are going to brag, because if you're like me, I know I've played enough random dungeon queues and I've done enough dungeons that I know exactly how to, if I want to, I know exactly how to engineer my cooldown to the right pull to get the most DPS. Well of Eternity, for example, those first three pulls with the three dudes around the crystals while you're fighting with Illidan.
The crit buff.
If you stay stealthed, yeah, you're getting buffs, and if you wait for it to get up to full stacks, you know, and then you know, I'm tanking a bear tank and I pop berserk on the first pull and pull 80,000 DPS while I'm berserk mangling. Of course, that's going to be pretty rough to out DPS. And do I care? No, I don't care. And I'm not linking it every pull to people, you know. I'm like, hey, you suck, you know. That's not me. I just do it because it's fun and it makes me laugh a little bit. But you know, by the end of the run, I'm not at the top of the DPS, because the pulls after that and so on, they don't,
it levels out.
You don't get those buffs. Yeah, it all levels out in the end of it. But that first pull, I love that first pull in Well of Eternity. That is so fun. People freak out.
Oh, yeah.
They really do. I'm like, yeah, don't worry about it. It'll even out later.
Dude, you've seen, like, on my Hunter or on the Ellie Shaman, dude, I can get up to, like, 150 on those pulls, man. It's just crazy. It's all about cheesing the meters, you know? I know. I cheese the meters because exactly what you're saying. It's funny, and especially when I'm with a pug, and you go in there and you get the other buff for being in a pug. You know, the however many people aren't together. You know, you get an extra 5%. You know, and you go in there and it's just like, all right, let's see what I can do here. And you pop your cooldowns and you just AoE. It is hilarious to see some of the numbers you can come up with.
Right. But the thing is you're not using this to tell other
it.
People they suck.
Yeah, not at all. I'm sitting in my chair laughing or talking to someone on, you know, through Mumble, just laughing about how ridiculous it is. Yeah, I'm not shaming anyone or beating somebody up. Not usually.
All right. Now, I'd like to, you know, we say Recount a lot. I've been using Recount for years and years and years and years since vanilla. I've been easily using it since vanilla. Recently I was, I've heard about Skada for maybe a year or two. I think in Wrath is when I maybe first heard about it. And I was like, well, why switch to Skada if Recount's doing what I need it to do? I don't really need to do it. So I never really bothered with it. But it was brought to my attention, hey, you know, I switched to Skata because there's some fights in Dragon Soul or in other raids where it lags out. And if I turn off recount, it doesn't lag for me. So, yeah. When I tested it out all week long, where I used... I turned off recount completely. I've been using Skata mostly to just familiarize myself with it and to make sure that I can get the same kind of data I want out of it that I had, that I'm used to seeing out of recount. So far, there's only one portion of it that I am not exactly happy with. That it doesn't matter right now, but when we go into progression again, after Mist comes out, it might be a little lacking. But I don't know, maybe there's an add-on, like a sub add-on, some kind of plugin or module for Skata that will help with this. But anyway, just to confirm the performance issue, I took it through 25 man looking for raid. There's three spots in both 25 and 10 man where my system kind of hiccups a little bit. And that's probably, if anybody's having system problems, this is probably where they might see it too. But during Zanoz's black blood phase, during Yorsaj's phase where he's got the black and the red oozes going on, or that type of thing. And I never had any problems in Ultraxian. I never did, for whatever reason. Oh, I never did.
Yeah.
I would always hiccup on Madness of Deathwing when the mutated corruptions shoot out of the water on the back of the islands. For whatever reason, for that split second, it would just hang for, you know, not even a half a second. But it would just, every single time, you know, I'd hear the DBM alert for mutated corruption, and then the mutated corruption is already there. Like, I didn't see it come out of the water, it's just there. So,
weird.
Yeah, so that 1/4 of a second, it would always lag on those stupid things. So, after I switched to Skata, I've been using it all week. I did a whole bunch of five-mans to figure out, you know, to make sure I had it set up properly. Then I did the 25-man looking for raids. And it's much worse on 25-man in those AoE situations in Zanoz and Yorsaj than it is on 10-man. So
yeah, for sure. Yeah.
It was smooth. It was smooth on 25 man, and it was even smoother when we did it tonight on 10 man. So for performance wise, yep, I am very pro Skata right now. I'm very happy about that. The thing that I don't like about it, my favorite thing about recount, is the death meters. The recount will tell me this boss did this ability, it did this much damage, and it was this kind of damage. And in between those damage points, it'll say this healer healed me with this heal, and it was for this much. So I can see, you know, did a druid healer like Hend only put rejuve on me and just kind of went to sleep? So I see a rejuve tick, 80,000 damage, rejuve tick, 80,000 damage, rejuve tick. You know, I can see those things in recount to know if I received anything more than my self heals or a hot tick. You know, did I even ever once receive a new keel or anything? I'm still trying to figure out how to read that data in Skata. It's there, like I can see there's a heal, but I all the heals say zero, even though it says that there was a heal. And the damage, it still kind of confuses me. I think I'm seeing how much damage was done by an ability, but I'm not quite certain. It doesn't make it exactly clear, but I do. You still see the gist of it. You see a timeline, you know, damage, heal, dead. So it's workable. I think that it has potential. I just need to figure out how to see the information that I want. So if any of you listeners out there know exactly what I'm talking about and can guide me in the right direction, please let us know, because I love it.
Yeah, because I use another add-on called Fatality, and it basically, it doesn't backtrack nearly like that. It just it'll call out like a killing blow, basically. You know, this person died to this, whether it was an 8K melee swing or a, you know, 40K spell damage or whatever it is. Ooh. You know, it's a, it'll call it out in the group so you can see it on the fly. But there's, it's not nearly as comprehensive as a scatter or recount in terms of being able to look back and see, okay, here's the 10 seconds leading up to it, and I got no heals and died, or holy crap, I took a huge ton of damage and there was nothing anybody could do, you know.
Right, and maybe that add-on is sufficient enough to work with the data I'm seeing in Scatter right now for death meters. Maybe those two things combined will be just fine. But, you know, I still want to know if I can see in Scatter death meters what I can see in a recount death meters. So yeah. I'm still asking listeners, please let us know if you can help me out with that. I would love it. Now, these are all in-game things that we've been talking about.
Just one sec. Also, in Scatter versus recount. Now, I've been using recount as long as you. In fact, I'm probably the one who told you about recount. But anyway.
Here we go.
What makes me now consider switching to SCADA is you can have two windows open. As far as I know on recount, you can have your one window. You can tab through it to the others, like your damage per second, your heals per second, or your, all those other meters. But on SCADA, you can have both windows up at the same time. I always have it on my healing, on the healing meter when I'm healing, but I would like to have a look at the damage meter as well. So that's one point for SCADA there that might cause me to switch right now, since I don't look at the death meters quite as often as you or as much as you do. So,
yeah, that is a good point. I've also been testing that out as well this whole week, and maybe it's too much information if you've got three different windows open, but if you're...
Well, yeah, you gotta find room on your screen after all these...
Yeah.
You could fill your whole screen with every meter if you wanted.
Yeah. I mean, I'm having a little bit of fun with Scatter because it can do a few things that Recount can't do. One of those is open multiple windows so I can view heals or DPS at the same time. Another thing I like about it is that you don't have to hog up your whole screen with it. You can have it very minimal and maybe just see the top five. But if you want to see anything below that, you can use your mouse wheel to scroll up and down in Scatter. I don't think you can do that in Recount yet. There's a little slide bar that you have to use. Okay.
Oh, is it a slide bar? Oh, okay.
Well, I don't know. That was just something I was looking at. I did it by accident when I was going through two different windows. And also, Scatter's a little bit different. In Recount, when you're looking for a breakdown, you click on an ability, and it pops open a second window, and then that second window has a double pane on it with the pie chart, and it's very, very detailed. It's a little bit more consolidated in Scatter, and all of the navigation is done with the left and right mouse click button. So if you want to break down an ability, you right click it, and then it goes into that ability. And if you want to see a breakdown of that ability, right click it again. And if you want to back out of it, you just left click until you're at wherever point you want to be at to look at other things. It's a little bit easier to use, I think. It's a little bit faster to move around once you get used to it. And definitely the performance was a big hit for me because I was thinking, man, my system is pretty nice. I've got a pretty nice system. And it's really weird that I encounter these kind of graphical hang-ups in these odd spots. And it was AV that told me about it. AV, Perpetual Caster, said Scatter doesn't use hog up as much resources, and I'm like, how could it be hogging up resources, because I've got 8 gigs of RAM, I've got a gig video card. I mean, you know, what's Recount using, 2 megabytes? How could it possibly be sucking up my resources? But apparently it does.
But it is, huh?
It's doing something.
It's a thief of resources.
No matter what damage meter you use, Scatter, Recount, or something else, one thing we didn't touch on, but I want to bring it up here, is you can use it as a tool for yourself to get better by going to, and I think we should have trumpets playing right now, the training dummies in the city. If you want to try out a new rotation, if you want to try out a new rotation, you know, you can go full bore on the training dummies in town and see what your DPS is, and then try something new and see if you can increase it. If it goes down, maybe that's not the best thing to try, and try something different until you can sustain a level of DPS that you're happy with. That's a great way to use damage meters as a tool to improve your play.
Right, and if you're really mad at us about the Paladin episode, last episode, and you're a Paladin, and you're like, man, oh man, we just really got it wrong. Just pretend those training dummies in the city are us, and take it out on us, and we won't be offended. We never die. Our health never goes down, so you can be mad at us all you want. Another thing to point out real quick, and this is a Scotta versus recount issue, is if you're using something in the guild, in your guild, or you're using the same five people that always run, it helps if all of you are using the same add-on. Recount and Scotta will report the same overall damage. It records things identically, but it calculates damage per second, and I'm assuming heals per second as well. It calculates those differently. I think one starts when anybody begins combat, and another one starts it only when you begin combat. So your total numbers will be the same, but your how much per second you're doing is going to be slightly different. All right, let's move along here. We've been talking about in-game ways to monitor your progress and your ability to do your role properly. So there's also logs online. I'm sure you've heard people say, do you use World of Logs? Do you use, I think another one was WoW Web Stats or something. I don't know if it's still around, but we use World of Logs, so that's why that came to mind. And this is something that's online, and it's something that you would analyze after the fact. Hend is our primary World of Log logger, so go ahead, take it away, Hend, and talk all you want about this.
All right, well, the first thing you need to do is make sure you're saving your combat log. There are add-ons that do this. A simple one that takes no resources at all. It's called CL Saver. It's very simple to use. You go to the zone that you want to log. So say it's Dragon Soul. When you're in Dragon Soul, it's just /CLS toggle, and it turns on logging whenever you go into that zone. And then you can do a CLS list, and it will list all the zones that you're set to log. So once you have that, then you upload it to World of Logs. I found a fantastic guide by Jacilla at cannotbetamed.com, and I'll just try and paraphrase it as best I can. Now her instructions are mainly for healing, but you can use it for looking at DPS as well. Just replace the word healing with damage and look at the damage done, damage or spell, etc. on any of the screens we're about to discuss. But when looking at a raider's performance, it's best to look at single boss kills or attempts specifically. So to look at a specific fight, you'd want to choose it from the blue navigation bar at the top. I'm not sure if anyone listening wants to open up a World of Logs screen. It might make it easier to follow along on this. I'm actually going to do that just so I can follow along as I'm describing it. I'm going to use our Altraxian kill from July 5th.
So, there you go.
Where am I here? So, to look at that, it's full report from the navigation bar at the top. Bosses, choose a boss, and choose an attempt. From the dashboard, you want to select healing done. Now what this will give you is a table and a graph. The table shows your healing per second, your effective healing, as well as your active time. So the numbers don't always mean that much, but the active time is a good indication. What that'll tell you is the time you've spent casting spells. If it's a heavy movement fight, it may be lower because you're not casting when you're moving all the time. So that's a good thing to look at as well in this. If you look at the graph shows the top three healers and the total. Now, there's check boxes beside all the names. You can check these off and to see whoever you want on this graph. But the vertical red lines indicate player deaths. So for this particular fight, there actually was one of our tanks died. Not sure how that happened. I'll blame the other healer. There's vertical orange lines that show combat reses, and our tank did get a res from Root. The orange-green line indicates boss death, and there's a large vertical bar, a blue bar, that shows the duration of bloodlust. If you want to look at an individual player, you can click on this them from this table. As well, even if you just heal or mouse over them, it'll show their top five healing abilities that they use. But if you just click on a name, and you want to go healing by spell, so that'll list off all of the abilities that they use by order of healing done. So things you want to look for are breadth of spell selection. So the way I want to look at this is a way for you to improve yourself rather than a raid leader looking at this, because I'm assuming they already know what to do when they're looking at this. So if you're evaluating yourself, are you using all the tools in your toolbox? Group versus single target heals. Are you the tank healer? Are you using mostly group heals when you're tank healing? You want to look at that. As a raid healer, are you casting too many direct heals? And as well, there's a category for overheals. So are your heals being wasted? Is there, you know, if you see that you have a huge spell that is mainly overheals, is there something you can do to correct that now that you've identified that you have that? If you check on the tab called Healing by Actor, it shows who you healed. You know, hopefully the tanks would be up top if you're the tank healer, especially you want to see the tank at the top of the list. If you're raid healing, you want to see a good dispersion of everyone else. And another great tab on this one is Buff Cast. So what you're looking for on this tab is cooldowns, on-use trinkets, uptime of certain spells, such as Earthshield, Life Bloom. So I have my Paladin here. Beacon of Light should always be up. And it shows that I had it up 100% of the time, so that's perfect. As well as, you want to look at power gains. So are you using your mana regen abilities? So here I use my Arcane Torrent, Divine Plea. So that's good. I did what I was supposed to do to get my mana back. If you want to look at more uptimes, there's a pound sign beside all of the abilities. If you click on that, it will bring up a table which displays a graph that shows when you had that buff up. So I clicked on Beacon of Light, so of course it's a solid green line all the way across. Now on the guide that Jacilla did, in her example, she used Life Bloom and Harmony. And looking at her guide, we'll give a link in our show notes for this as well. But she used Life Bloom, and it showed that she did not stack it on the tank before the pull, but she did cast a direct heal before the pull to trigger Harmony from the very beginning. And Harmony is the mastery ability you get that increases the effectiveness of all hots. Don't take my word for that, though. I'm a terrible Druid healer, I must admit. But yes, World of Logs is a great tool to use to improve yourself. You can look at all of these things. I'm not going to go into any more detail on any of the healers, but if you go to cannotbetamed.com/resources/evaluating-raiders-with-world-of-logs, it's a mouthful.
We'll just put that in our show notes, too.
So. Yes, we'll put it in the show notes as well.
Yeah, you could have just said / evaluating raiders with World of Logs. Replace the spaces with hyphens.
See? A mouthful. You're going on just as I did. But she has specific class evaluations for all the healing classes. So now, like I said at the beginning, you can do this for any damage class as well. If you know your class and what you should be doing or what you should be able to do, are there dots that should be up 100% of the time? You can look through this and you'll be able to tell. Do you have it up all the time, etc. So it's a very in-depth tool that you can use when you're not actually in-game. But the biggest thing is actually recording the logs. If you're in a raid team, there's a good chance someone on your raid team is already recording the logs and uploading them. If not, perhaps you can volunteer to do that yourself. I'm sure your raid team would be appreciative. And that is all I have on World of Logs, which was...
I appreciate it
quite,
when you...
Quite the mouthful. but yeah, I want to thank again, Jacilla. That's... her Twitter is Jacilla _ if you want to find her on Twitter. And yeah, like you said again, her website is cannotbetamed.com. Very excellent resource for evaluating World of Logs.
All right, well, I think it's about time that we need to give out some hand love. So, without further ado, everyone in our guild, Hoarderlies, thank you all for being in Hoarderlies. Thanks, guys, for showing up tonight and doing this raid. We had, like Rob said earlier, we had some new people show up, or at least some people on alt. Some people alted over just to get some healers going. But we got a group together, all in guild, and we killed it, and it was great. Also, would like to give a great Hendlove shout-out to Kevin and Epsana. That's not Aspana, like I may have said before. It's Epsana. Epsana. Jeez. At the Darkmoon Herald. Major, major thanks to those guys. I think, geez, they mentioned us 3 times in their last show. That was kind of a surprise. And very awesome. So thank you guys. If you're not listening to Dark Moon Herald, you should check them out. It's a pretty fun time to listen to. In fact, I think the first thing we had, our follow-up from last week's podcast from Ledicious Warrior, had a bloodlust, and that is a Dark Moon Herald 2-minute rant timer that they go through. That is all them.
I noticed that as well.
Very cool throwback.
Also want to give a thanks to Jules the Tauren on Tauren Think Tank. Another 3-time shout out. Woo! Awesome.
Jeez.
I want to send a big bucket of hen love to Jacilla at cannotbetamed.com, because her World of Logs guide is very thorough and very good, and I don't think I could have gone on for that 10 minutes or however long it went without it. As well, I want to give a shout-out back to Epic Podcast. They announced the shout-out on their show, which apparently got removed in the editing by some error, but then they added a shout-out back in their blog post edit, which is still very much appreciated. Also, if you hear anyone else mentioning us, let us know so we can share the hen love with them.
Well, that about does it for episode number 3 of The Training Dummies. So be sure to check out our website at thetrainingdummies.com, or you can follow us on Twitter at Training Dummies. You can subscribe to us on iTunes, or you can email your questions or MP3s to theshow@trainingdummies.com. You can also reach us individually. You can hit Hind on Twitter at Hind_Hoarderlies. You can hit me at Rob Copeland. You can hit Hoofit at WowHoof. Or you can hit us up individually at our emails. It's just HindHotPox or Hoofit@TrainingDummies.com.
I think that's at TheTrainingDummies.com.
At TheTrainingDummies.com.
All right. See, this is thank you, guys.
One in the morning, man.
Thank you all for listening.
So until next time, don't be a dummy.
Woo! Woo!
Let us take the beating for you.
Woo! Woo!